Well, grapevines, as I mentioned to the kids, are very productive. And most of you have probably seen grapevines. Most of you have probably ate grapes. Hopefully you like them. They're good and healthy for us, too, and can keep us strong. In the scriptures, grapes are used more than just for eating. They're used for a lot of metaphors, actually a lot of different kinds of metaphors. In the Old Testament, for instance, grapes symbolize Israel's fruitfulness in doing God's work here on earth. At the Passover meal, the fruit of the vine symbolized God's goodness for the people. And here in John, grapevines are used by Jesus as an example to symbolize our relationship with him. Often when we read this scripture, we may think that it's about making disciples. It's about being fruitful and getting out there and making more fruit. That is part of it, but without getting ahead of ourselves, we have to back this up a little bit. That's not Jesus' full point in this scripture. He's also talking about that very important relationship with him and growing fruit within us, fruit. Do you guys remember the scripture from Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit? Can anyone here list all eight of those? If you can, I will be happy to give you this apple because that would be really good. I have nothing better than the apple up here, but I can't remember them all either. But they certainly all very important characteristics. They are love, joy, peace, patience, which is probably a hard one for a lot of us, right? Or might be speaking for myself. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Wait, did I count wrong? And self-control. Maybe I lied to you. How many is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 9, not 8. Sorry. See? There are 9 big characteristics here. And these fruit of the Spirit are called the fruit of the Spirit because it's the Holy Spirit that works within us to give us all 9 of those characteristics. But all 9 of those characteristics, as we already know, are really inside of Jesus. And when we're connected to Jesus, it's then that we can produce them as well. When he is feeding us, we can produce them as well. The book of John even uses fruit, not only just like Galatians does, but it talks even about joy and answered prayers and love. And it calls all of those things fruit as well in some sort of form or another. I'm hoping not making anybody just hungry talking about fruit. But I think what Jesus tries to really do here is bring us back a little bit and say, you know, here's a perfect example of how to follow through and get all 9 of these characteristics. He's trying to really teach us through the scripture and relate to us. So that's why he's using fruit, I'm sure. But if we're honest with ourselves and we read what Jesus is saying here, he says that we can't produce this kind of fruit without him. We can't do it on our own. Maybe we can get 1 or 2 of them, but we're certainly not going to get all 9 of them on our own. What Jesus is saying is that if we want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us, we have to join him. We have to be connected to him, which is the vine that he's talking about. If Christ is the vine, then that makes us the branches. And if you've been around grapevines, you know that those branches go all over the place. Many times they're put on fences, they're put on arches of some type, something to have those vines grow on because they do go wild and they can go all over the place. But another thing that they do is really intertwine with each other. I want to not skip ahead here. If Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, what he says that makes God is the gardener, the caretaker. The one who feeds the plant, the one who takes care of the plant. Anyone here have a green thumb? Okay, you're all honest. Anyone here try to have a green thumb? Yeah, there you go. We try. I can't say I totally have a green thumb either, but I certainly try, and I think I do okay for that. But one of the things that I've learned about plants of any kind, whether it's a bush or it's a tree or it's a flower or it's an indoor plant that I have in my house, all of them need pruned, don't they? They need pruned to really be healthy, especially taking off the dead stuff, all of the dried, ugly kind of stuff. When I'm at my parents' house, my mom doesn't prune her plants nearly as well, and I'm always on her. Half the time, she doesn't even water them. I'm telling on her now. I can't stand it. So my pet peeve is to go and pick off all of those dead things because I look at that poor plant, and I know this sounds weird, but I know that plant wants to be happy. And I know that plant wants to be healthy. And I mean, I love my plants. I even talk to my plants. So yeah, I might be a little weird with them. But they are living creatures, if you remember learning that in school. They are alive. So I pick off all that stuff to sort of make them healthy. I want to care for them. And that really is what God is doing here too in the scripture. This is his example with us. The same is what Jesus is talking about. He says the branches are those who claim to be followers of Christ. The fruitful branches are the believers who, through the relationship with Christ, produce fruit. But those who become unproductive, those who turn back from following Christ, maybe after making a superficial commitment, will be separated from the vine. And that's because God prunes. He prunes that dry, dead stuff off to make the rest of the plant healthy. Now keep in mind, there are two kinds of pruning. There's cutting off and there's cutting back. Not only does God prune the dead branches off, the superficial ones, but he also prunes the living ones. And you know why he does that? To promote growth. Not only to be healthy, but also to promote growth. The pruning in us gives us an opportunity to focus a little bit more on those nutrients, on the good parts, on those fruits of the spirits. It gives us room for new birth, if you would use it. When I prune my plants at home, which while I was making this sermon and writing this sermon, I have two plants sitting beside me, and I look over because often my mind wanders. If anybody else has that problem, you get focused into something, a little bit later your mind starts to think of this and think of that. I hear a lot of people saying that about prayer, but my mind does that too. And so I look over my plants and I just start picking off at them, and I'm going, this is exactly what makes my plants grow. This is exactly what keeps them healthy. And by getting off that dead stuff, it's almost like it gives them room for new birth. It gives them room to be able to grow, and it stops anything, gets anything that's stopping them from getting that nutrients out of the way. We can relate to that as people. Those branches that don't bear fruit are cut off at the trunk, but they're also cut off not only because they're unfruitful, but because many times they can infect the rest of us. I've done a lot of hiking and seen trees, and not too awful long ago saw pine trees that were just really dying in dead places. And you see some that are just starting to get this infection. But what happens is all the other pine trees around them catch this infection, and they can die quickly too. Anybody seen trees like that? It looks really sad when you look up in the mountain and you see this just kind of dry, dead area. It's most of the time because some kind of infection got in that tree. One tree is all it would have taken, and it spreads to all those other ones around it. I know a lot of times people think that, you know, I'm doing good things, I'm trying to be honest, I'm trying to work and be a good person. But what those people seem to be missing a lot of times, or some people are missing, is that relationship with Christ. If we are not in a true relationship with Christ, if we are not completely connected with him as the vine and the branches, we truly are not healthy. We're not getting fed. You're going to be that dried up branch laying there on the ground that can't go anywhere, but just rot and fall to pieces. One other thing that God says in this scripture that I think is really important for us to see and to remember is that by being these branches, God says that we are part of him. We are made from him. Okay? Picture a vine. Picture those branches going out. They're made from that vine. They're right there with him. They're intertwined. They're rooted up by him. And we are made just like that. We are made to be connected to God. We are made to be connected to each other. We are made to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I think the biggest question then becomes is, how do we maintain that? I'm pretty sure that everybody sitting in this room is probably here because you're already building that relationship. You've already made that commitment to follow Christ. If you didn't, I encourage you to do so. But most of you, I'm pretty sure, already have. But the question then becomes, how do you maintain that relationship? Well, how do you maintain any relationship? What do you do to build a relationship? You spend time with somebody, right? You pick up the phone, give them a call, take them out on a date if it's a dating sort of thing. You hang out with friends. You learn who they are. You study who they are. You want to know them. You start to care about them. Then you start to love them. You want to help them. You want to care for them. You want to encourage them. That's the same thing with Jesus. That's what he wants in all of us, that same kind of relationship. I think one reason Jesus goes back to grapes, and we all know what vines look like, and that sounds simple, is in simple comparison, is because it's not really that hard. I know I make it harder than I need to sometimes, and I'm sure you can relate with me on that. But it's not that hard. All we need to do is the same thing we do with each other. Spend time with him. Get to know who he is. Read his word. Attend a Sunday school class. Attend a Bible study. This study, when I was reading this week and preparing this sermon, so much of it goes together. I really, really encourage you, if you can come out, do that, because those kinds of things are what teach us about him, are what feed us and help us to grow closer and closer and be connected to God. Prayer, studying his word, Bible study. If you want to be healthy and you want to be fruitful, you want to have all those fruits of the Spirit, all nine of those things, and who really doesn't? Come on. We all really do. Then we need to fill ourselves with him. The moment that you guys, or anybody, surrenders themselves to Christ, they are immediately cleaned of their sins. But there's something else that's beautiful when that happens, and that's the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, I guess we could say you already have all nine of those characteristics inside of you. You already have them all. It's just a matter of learning how to use them. It's a matter of learning how to perfect them. And that's not something easily done. I mean, if we're all honest, I'm sure not one of us can sit here and say, we probably even have 7 out of 9 of them or 8 out of 9 of them. We all struggle with those different pieces. But what matters is that we are keep trying, right? What matters is that we're connected to Jesus and have that relationship to be filled of them. The last piece in the scripture says that when a vine produces much fruit, God is glorified. He is glorified. If you think of it just in a farming analogy or the trees or the plants, God brings the sunshine to us every day, even if it's through a cloud. It's just in the right way that it's needed. He brings rain to us when it's needed. He provides all of that so that he can develop this tiny little seed into a plant, into a bush, into a tree, into whatever he needs it to be. And when that moment is that it's harvested, that it's fully bloomed, and it's ready to go into the barn, when it's matured, whatever it is, when it's ready for use, think of how much glory is brought to the Lord. He made it. He made it happen. God is glorified when people come in the right relationship with him and begin to produce much fruit in themselves first. We can't go out and produce fruit in other people unless we have it here first. So are you receiving the nutrients that Jesus is offering to you? Are you letting the Holy Spirit do its work inside of you? And are you letting yourself be pruned? Pruning hurts. It's not easy, and it can be rough. It can be ugly, but it's needed to get rid of that dry stuff, get rid of the ugly stuff. It's needed to make us healthy. It's needed to make us complete. It's needed to help us to grow. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a lot to handle. We can't do that on our own. Jesus says it right here in the scripture. You are nothing without me. You can't do it without my help. Let me help you. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be your friend. I want to be your savior. I want to be your Lord. Be in relationship with me. Connect with me. He is that daily bread that we talk about in our prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that we say every Sunday, and maybe you say other times of the week. He is that daily bread. The spirit of the fruit is that daily bread. Let us pray. Father God, we know your fruit is truly for everyone. It really is for all of us here. But it is up to us to accept it. It is up to us to let you prune us, to do your work within us, to give us these beautiful characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you, Father, for filling each one of us up with your Spirit. But we ask, Lord, that we make that choice that we have to truly let it do its work and work hard to follow the Spirit. Work hard to follow you. We ask that today you would bless each person here. Bless each of us to learn and become closer to you, to recognize that we are your children, that we are already connected to you, and that if we produce the beautiful fruit you're talking about here, we not only will be the children you need us to be, but we can do so much good in our community and in our world. So much more than we're already doing. So much more than we can ever imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.